This is Pastor Emery. Many voices are being raised in America to call America back to God, back to the Bible, back to Jesus Christ. However, America cannot turn back to Jesus Christ as long as America insists on practicing religious rituals and rites which are unchristian. The ritual of the so-called Christmas holiday is one of those unchristian rituals practiced by the Christian church. No, don't turn this preacher off. You listen, for I will not only give you my reason for believing that Christmas is not a Christian holiday, although few 20th century American Christians seem to know it, it is true the Christian founders of America not only did not celebrate the December 25th holiday, but attempted to prevent its observance by others in the colonies. On the first page of our booklet, we have reprinted two newspaper articles. Listen to them. Headline, it's a fact. Christmas was not established as a legal holiday throughout the United States until late in the 19th century. In 1659, the Puritan colony in Massachusetts passed a law that anyone found observing any such day as Christmas or the like, either by forbearing labor, feasting, or in any other way, shall be fined 5 shillings. The article concludes, many early Americans who refused to work on Christmas either went to jail or paid fines. Here is another news article. Headline, Christmas was banned. Christmas was once banned in Boston. The Puritans forbade the celebration of Christmas because it was a, quote, pagan feast. Episcopalians were the first in Boston to observe the holiday. They were followed by increasing numbers of young people who raised the 18th century eyebrows with the frolic, a reveling feast, and a ball. But it was not until 1856 that the legislature, recognizing a losing battle when it saw it, gave in and made Christmas a legal holiday. Just think of that. How few Christians in churches today have ever been told that the holiday they celebrate in their church called Christmas was not accepted even by the general Christian church until only about 100 years ago. It is a very new holiday. Now, during this and the next broadcast, I am going to follow generally the material presented in the book, Is Christmas Christian? The booklet, Is Christmas Christian?, begins with the news articles which I just read, which tell us that the earliest Christians in America refused to celebrate the December 25th Christmas holiday. In fact, some history books will tell you that Governor Bradford of Plymouth Colony actually required the Christian pilgrims to go to the woods and cut firewood on that first December 25th they spent on this North American continent so that no one could accuse the Christians of observing what he called that popish holy day. At the beginning of the book, we also reprinted some typical Christmas advertising, mostly for wine and whiskey, and some news articles about the increase in crime during that so-called holiday season. Some articles tell of people stealing Christmas trees from tree farms and even cutting evergreens out of neighbors' yards to use as Christmas trees. Police officers say suicides and murders are at their highest during the Christmas season, and most officers grip duty in the days before December 25th because of the high percentage of drunk driving and drunks causing other troubles. On page 5 of this booklet, I read Psalm 1:1, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. From the first pages of this book, and from a realistic observation of the strange goings on during what is called the Christmas season or the holidays, it is obvious that most of what passes for celebration is decidedly not Christian. But how can this be if indeed the day itself to which all of this costly preparation leads is biblical or of Christ? The scripture teaches us that the carnal or the worldly mind is enmity against God, Romans 8:7. And it teaches that the world, in other words, the people who love the world rather than God, actually hate Christ and Christians. We read this in Matthew 24 and verse 9, Matthew 10:22, Mark 13:13, and Luke 21 and verse 17, ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Jesus added in John 15:19, because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And in 1 John 3:13, the Apostle John wrote to the Christians not to be surprised at hatred. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. So that we would understand that that hatred was directed primarily at Jesus Christ, Jesus told his own disciples, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. That's John 15 and verse 18. And yet those who pay no attention to Jesus Christ or to his word all of the rest of the year, those who fit the description of the world, enter into the activities and rituals of Christmas with a frenzy that borders on a passion. The world loves Christmas. How can this be so? How can the unbelievers be so stirred at this one time of the year to venerate a day proclaimed as the very birthday of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world? Some credit the goings-on of Christmas to a nebulous spirit they call the Christmas spirit, and many praise the workings of that spirit. But do the people suddenly change their beliefs? Do they suddenly all act like Christians and then cease to act as such after December 25th? But that isn't right either, is it? For most of their actions have nothing whatever to do with Christ. In fact, the Christmas spirit seems to cause almost all to act in a manner that is totally out of line with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Stores raise many prices, often pushing cheap and flimsy merchandise for gifts, then exchange bottles or cases of whiskey. Employers give Christmas parties with free liquor, often with tragic consequences, in auto accidents or in illicit sex liaisons. Tens of thousands of families caught up in this nebulous Christmas spirit overspend and lay an additional burden of debt upon themselves for months afterwards. In addition, untold millions of little children are deceived about the existence of a little creature called Santa Claus. Parents, who under most circumstances would severely punish their children for telling lies, blithely lie to those same children and do it with a smile on their faces and joy in their hearts. Are those things Christian? Of course not. Then what is this festival which is called Christmas? The answer, which should be suspected by Christians as they watch the world celebrate, is that this festival called Christmas is not a Christian holiday at all, but is exactly that which it appears to be, a pagan debauchery whose origins are not and cannot be in the Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, taught, a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Christianity, being a good tree, cannot bring forth such a debauchery as we see on pagan Christmas Day. We are told by John, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. That's in 1 John 4 and verse 1. This simply means that Christians are not to believe everything that seems to have a spirit behind it to be originated by God. Jesus warned of deception in Matthew 24:24, that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Peter told believers, there would be false teachers among you who privily or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies. 2 Peter 2:1. A heresy is a religious teaching that has the appearance of truth, but is in reality a lie. Is it possible that Christmas is a heresy, something that masquerades as Christian, but is not? Perhaps we should take this festival apart and examine the parts and see what it really is. Let's examine the day first. When the day, December 25th, is examined, some rather strange things are discovered. First, and this should certainly lead professing Christians to think, Christians observe no such day as the birthday of Jesus during the lives of the disciples or those that followed immediately after them. In fact, in this booklet, Is Christmas Christian, we have a whole page on the origin of the Christian holiday, showing that it was not celebrated in Christian nations for over four centuries after Jesus. Neither did the Christian founders of the American colonies, who were of those who had come out of the great horror of the Roman Church, celebrate Christmas, as you have already seen. Second, no one has ever come forward with even one verse of Scripture which admonishes believers to observe any such celebration of the birthday of Christ, nor is there any. Although such Hebrew holy days as the Passover, the Sabbath, and the annual giving of the tithes are mentioned in both Old and New Scriptures, God has left no instruction relating to Jesus' birthday. Third, the description of Jesus' birth night tells of a time to be taxed, of shepherds in the fields with their flocks at night, and the city of Bethlehem full of travelers, so that there was no room for them in the inn. Tax time was harvest time throughout the Roman Empire, and tithing time was harvest time according to the law of Moses. Common sense and custom would have the Roman governor collect taxes at the time the people had money from the harvest, when they had been taught to pay their tithes under Moses' law. Midwinter, or December 25th, simply does not fit that season described in the Holy Word. Fourth, even a very brief search of history books of various nations and peoples shows that almost all pagan nations had a midwinter festival embodying all the customs of the modern Christmas. They had feasting, drunken revelry, sexual excess, the burning of a log, the setting up of a tree, the giving of the gifts, and so on, and it was always done in conjunction with the worship of a pagan god. Again, in our book, Is Christmas Christian?, we have an entire page of a news article demonstrating how easy it is for ministers to find the truth of the pagan origin of all of these rituals which the people, even Christians, act out during this so-called Christmas holiday. Fifth, almost all Bible scholars who have made attempts to ascertain the actual birthday of Jesus have admitted failure to find the exact date. However, almost all scholars estimate it to be no earlier than September 20th, nor later than November 6th on our present calendar. This information, coupled with the available evidence that neither the early Christians nor those of early America observed any birthday of Jesus, lends one to contemplate in wonder this next observation, which is number 6, that in spite of all evidence against December 25th being at or near the birthday of Jesus, and in spite of a total lack of scriptural instruction to believers to observe any day at all in commemoration of Jesus' birth, the professing Christian churches, almost without exception, approve and participate in almost all of the rituals by which the world celebrates Christmas. Why? Perhaps we will find the answer to that last question by continuing our examination of the parts of the whole thing. How about the mother and the child? There is an almost universal use of the pictures or statues of a mother and a small baby by those who celebrate Christmas. Believer and unbeliever alike send cards with such pictures, place manger displays on their front lawns or at their place of business. Some towns or other government bodies erect them on public property weeks before December 25th. Some who do this are professing Christians, but many who do this never darken a church door, open a Bible, or repent of a sin. could the mother and child be a non-Christian symbol? Our contemporary world has the Roman Catholics, with their veneration of the woman, calling her Mary, the Mother of God, but worshiping her as a god, for they pray to her for intercession to her godchild. In countries where Romanism holds total sway, little pretense of worshiping the Father is made, and the whole ritual of worship is to the woman and her little child, along with the worship of dead saints, which is part of the ancient system of the pagans. And speaking of the ancient system of the pagans, this gives us the origin of the woman and the child in Baal worship. The Babylonians worshipped a woman god, Rhea, R-H-E-A, who they called the goddess mother, and they ascribed to her son great powers. His name was Tammuz, and in Ezekiel 8, verses 13 and 14, women are condemned for professing to worship Jehovah while in secret actually worshiping Tammuz. The next verse in Ezekiel 8 condemns worship of the sun, which was also a part of the Babylonian abominations. This was an example of a religion which outwardly was practiced as the true religion, but secretly its adherents were Baal worshippers. The Greeks called the sun Bacchus, and he was the god of revelry and drunkenness. His birthday, which was supposed to be at the winter solstice, which is mid-December on our calendar, was marked with parties and sexual orgies in honor of the birth of this son of the mother god. In Egypt, the mother god and child were worshipped as Isis and Osiris or Horus. In India, where the ancient religion still holds sway, they are called Asai and Iswara. In other parts of Asia, they are known as Saigo and Vyoya. In each case, the child is known as a reincarnation of his father, making these pagan religions counterfeit of the true religion of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Mediterranean civilizations adopted these Asiatic abominations as Fortuna and Jupiter in Rome, and in Greece as either Ceres, the great goddess mother with a baby at her breast, or Irene, the goddess of peace with the baby Plutus in her arms. That this worship of mother and child is both ancient and Asiatic was verified when the first Jesuit or Catholic missionaries entered China, Japan, and Tibet. In each nation, they found the worship of a mother and child. She was called Xing Mu, or the Holy Mother, and she was portrayed complete with a light of glory around her, exactly as the Romanists paint their Madonna and child. The name Madonna should be explained, as it demonstrates the paganism of the origin of this worship, for it leads us back to a goddess mentioned in the Bible. Babylonians called their father god Baal, and his wife Beltis, or the mother of gods. But the Mediterranean Latin was Mea Domina, the feminine form of mother ruler. The modern Italian or Roman Catholic name Madonna is a corruption of Mea Domina, or the God Mother, and it is she who is worshipped as a god by the priest. She is also the goddess who caused Paul, Gaius, and Aristarchus so much trouble in Ephesus, as recorded in Acts 19. Her name there was Diana, as in Greece it was Juno, Hera, and Athena, varying from city to city. The merchants made money selling statues and objects for her veneration, and they attempted to drive Paul from the city when they realized his teaching would destroy their business. Just as the truth about Christmas and the worship of the Madonna and Child would destroy the business of so many Saudi merchants today. If it had not been for the intervention of the town clerk, as recorded in Acts 19, the merchants would have killed Paul for destroying this worship of this ancient pagan goddess. As we have seen, the pagan religion's main object of worship were the mother and child, but the father god was also worshipped, although he was kept mostly in the background. And that brings us to Santa Claus, And we'll have to cover that next time, God willing. Yes, Santa Claus is in the ancient pagan religion, and Santa Claus is also in the Bible. God willing, I will show you where you can read a description of something very similar to the Santa Claus of Christmas. It is in the Bible. Until next week when I return, God willing, to continue this study of Christmas, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.